This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. After its first official vote before the Salt Lake City Council, the proposed Utah Performing Arts Center, capable of housing touring productions, is now moving forward. Tuesday, the council allocated $18 million to fund the design of the theater, but funding the theater itself will be a bigger challenge, requiring the cooperation of Salt Lake County and others to pull it off. Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker has led the charge for the new theater since taking office in 2008, and he joins me now in the studio to discuss the latest details on the project and the city's relationship with the Occupy SLC movement since the camp was removed from Pioneer Park. Mayor, it's good to have you here.
Always good to be with you, Jeff. Thank you.
Listeners, give us a call with your questions and comments for Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Mayor, what exactly did the City Council vote to do this week, and what will it mean for the project?
Well, this was a big step for the City Council. As you mentioned, we've been looking at whether or not we should have a new, larger performing arts center downtown, where it should be, how it affects other facilities and arts organizations downtown and throughout the area, and how we could or should finance it. And that's been going on for 3 years very intensively, and there have been a whole series of votes by the City Council to move forward. But this vote this week was certainly seminal in that the City Council was saying, okay, we're going to take the big step. We're going to start to invest some major resources in the design so we can refine the costs. We can figure out the design. We can see how it works with Regent Street on the backside and what other features we put in as part of the project. So this was really a very large step and commitment by Salt Lake City. I know certainly it was reflected in their comments as they voted and in my certainly actions and thoughts over the last few years that we need to proceed cautiously. We need to proceed with prudence. And I think we're doing that. And this was the next big step.
So $18 million is, of course, a lot of money. Do you think residents will be concerned that the city would be spending this money during an economic downturn?
I'm always concerned about that. And I think everything we do reflects that. We've been cutting budgets ever since I came in the office, and yet the voters of Salt Lake City 2 years ago were generous enough, really, and recognized the need enough to support a bond for a new public safety building that's a $125 million project. So we have studied this project up, down, sideways, backwards, forwards, I think to a point where we're confident that this is a good investment for the city, that it's going to bring a lot of new cultural opportunities for our community and the whole region, and that it really leverages a lot of things that are going on downtown in a way to continue with the progress we want for downtown Salt Lake. So I certainly am concerned, but one of the key features of this that we committed to from very early on was we would do this without raising taxes. That meant looking at what revenue streams are out there we might be able to tap over a long period of time. So we have done that. We've been able to find ways to move forward to this point without raising taxes, and that commitment remains for me, and I believe is true for the City Council as well.
What comes next for this project? What's the next hurdle to overcome or to face here?
Well, the next step for us is to really refine the project to a point where we take what we're estimating to be a $110 million project and see what do we really need here? What are the true costs going to be? What options should we pursue as part of the project? For example, a black box theater as part of the project, or some improvements along Regent Street to really activate that important connection between City Creek Center and the Gallivan and the Gallivan Plaza. So there are a lot of things for us to go through in detail, but almost as importantly for us, this says, okay, Salt Lake City, we're making a commitment. Now it's time for us to reach out into the community, the private sector and the public sector, and find partners that we believe will make the difference in the funding for the success of this project and how much money we have available. So we've worked very closely with the county, with their performing arts folks who run the other theaters downtown, looked at how this would fit in with the other venues. We've looked at revenues that they have that have been committed to downtown and how those could continue to play a part with this investment.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously are anxious for them to consider and hopefully take action to participate in a relatively small way for the project as a whole. This also gives us the ability to go out to the private sector now and see what major contributors might be out there that are interested in naming rights and in supporting a facility like this. So this is going to be a time over the next several months or year where we're hopefully putting the pieces together, and we'll know with a lot more certainty the costs. We'll know with a lot more certainty who is participating and give us the confidence to go forward. Or if it looks like this at the end of the day is not something worth pursuing, we can always pull back.
Is it absolutely vital to have Salt Lake County's financial participation? Right now there's, you know, a Republican-controlled council, 5-4, that, you know, wouldn't even put a voter bond on the ballot for, you know, park improvements in Salt Lake County, very hesitant to commit any public funding to a project of this type, and many of them already expressing outright opposition to it. How can you move forward with the county if it's that vital?
Well, first of all, we have backup plans if the county does not participate. I'll just give you one example. This project and this type of theater performing arts center is very different than anything else we have in our community. What we know from our analysis, from what we've seen in other communities where theaters like this have gone in the last 10 years, is this is one of the very rare types of theaters that on a operating basis actually produces revenue because of the kinds of performances it attracts. That money we can take and put back into the development costs of the theater, or we can put into the county for both operations, because to us it makes sense for them to operate, but if they're not going to participate in the theater, we can use those revenues for the theater itself, and also to help pay for some of the short-term costs that the county bears from us moving some productions from what's now at Capitol Theater over to our theater. So we think it makes sense for the county financially. They have an existing revenue stream that's been put in downtown Salt Lake. We've asked them to use that money to participate so they would not need to raise taxes as they would with a recreation bond, for example, and to take some revenues that are generated downtown and put them back into downtown. So to us, it makes sense for the county. We've been having extensive discussions. We hope there is support there, but we'd like the county to make a decision so we know yes or no whether or not they're participating with us. And if they're not, it'll obviously help us in making our plans going forward.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. You can join us on the line at 801-355-8255. And Matthew is calling from here in Salt Lake City. Matthew, what's your question for Mayor Becker?
Hi. I have a couple of comments, and the questions are sort of implied in them, and then I'll present them, and you guys can talk about it.
All right.
First of all, why Broadway? It has nothing to do with Salt Lake City. There are arts and art forms that are indigenous to Salt Lake and that have a history in Salt Lake, and we have thousands of people doing arts that are not from New York and that would make more sense here. Another question is, given the city's track record with the big projects like the Leonardo, which was a total disaster, why should citizens trust the city to manage this project? I'll hope you guys can discuss this with an eye, or you know, paying attention to what Salt Lake City is, not New York.
All right. Thank you for the question and comment, Matthew. Mayor Becker, your response.
Matthew, those are very good questions and certainly ones that we've looked at very, very closely. What we're talking about is something different than New York Broadway. What happens after a show is successful is they go on the road and they go to cities all over the country that can host them. And we know we get now fifth runs of those productions. And the reason is because we do not have the theater space and the availability of dates in our existing theaters that we have available. We know when Wicked comes here, when Lion King comes here, their popularity. They sell out. Even when they're fourth and fifth run shows, they've been on the road for 10 years. They sell out immediately and bring very handsome returns, both for our facilities in terms of helping cover the cost of their operations and obviously for the companies that tour them. But beyond that, this is not a theater that is just touring Broadway. Kirk Bester, who is here, who is one of our most popular musicians and performers nationally, he came to the city council and he said, you know, I do not have a home in Salt Lake City. There is no place in Salt Lake City that is the size of theater, the type of production capability that I can go to. So I go to a Bravenel Hall now. I have to spend $20,000 to provide the kind of staging, and it still doesn't work right for me. I and so many other musicians like me want and need a theater, and for me, this is my home, and I feel badly I don't have a home theater. So this is to cover a wide range. Certainly, touring Broadway is the big catch name and everyone pays attention to and is the one that is financially consistently successful, not only here but all around the country. And we would have an opportunity to really have first-run touring Broadway shows rather than third, fourth, or fifth-run touring Broadway shows, where we have the right kind of facility. The question you ask about the city's record on major projects is a very legitimate one. When I came into office, we had two projects that had been approved by the voters for bonding. Mm-hmm. One of them was a sports complex for soccer fields, soccer complex as people know it. The other was the Leonardo. Those projects were not well estimated. The costs were not well projected. And we had to, in both cases, look at how we could substantially revise the projects to meet the cost estimation. We spent a lot of time. Those project costs, based on what the real costs were as opposed to the estimations, were reduced in half in order for us to go forward. I certainly know better, and I'd say for me naturally, but as a city, we have learned from that experience. The public safety building, which is now under construction, we are coming in both on time and on or well under budget. This project is one where we have done enough analysis. We've spent a lot of time on analysis, looking at how this theater would be configured in the space, what the needs are for this theater, what options we want to build into the theater for acoustics and otherwise. We've got a very good sense of the cost for this theater. This is also an excellent time for any major project for construction costs. Interest rates are very low. The construction costs are very low. If we're going to do a project like this, we could not ask for a better time. So I certainly appreciate your comment. I came into office with not only your concerns, but the responsibility, I think, to fix what I think had been a major shortcoming in the city. I think we've gone a long way towards doing that, and I'm confident in the costs we're presenting.
Mayor Becker, our time is limited this morning, so switching topics here, you recently met with supporters of the Occupy SLC movement following Police Chief Chris Burbank's decision to shut down the Occupy SLC camp at Pioneer Park. What is the state of the relationship now between your administration and between these protesters who told KCPW recently they want an apology and they want to be able to reestablish their camp?
Well, I did have a meeting with people who said they were representing Occupy Salt Lake. I had had discussions previously with someone else who said they were representing Occupy Salt Lake. So I'm hopeful that we will be able to continue certainly with that dialogue. And we've had literally a continuous dialogue with folks involved with Occupy Salt Lake. Our police who have been down there 24/7, who are down there 24/7, others who provide services in the community were down there 24/7 to try to make sure we had a safe environment and an environment that wasn't unhealthy. And I certainly understand them being upset over their encampment not being allowed to continue at Pioneer Park. There is a continuing camp at Gallivan, as
right.
I think most people know, and as long as that, I think, is being handled well in a way that provides healthy conditions and not just the base for a lot of illegal activity as part of the movement, we want to make sure we provide for them. And I want to just say that for me, and I know I speak as well for many in the city, including Police Chief Burbank, we want to make sure we provide well for those who want to exercise their First Amendment rights, their right of expression, their right to petition, their right to protest. That is such an important part of what our society is about, what our constitutional framework is about, and I'm fully committed to that. What we can't have is when we have someone die literally in a camp from neglect, where we have such unhealthy conditions that the health department is telling us every day we have to shut it down because we really risk people's basic health by having a camp that doesn't serve that purpose. So we just reached a point where we felt it was necessary to shut down that camp. We will continue to provide on a 24/7 basis the ability for people to exercise their First Amendment rights, to protest. We'll continue to be open to communicating on how that can be done. And I'm looking forward to Occupy Salt Lake and any other group that wants to express themselves, that we give them a good forum for doing that in Salt Lake City.
So was it entirely Chief Burbank's decision to close down the camp, or was that a decision you jointly made with him?
Oh, it was a decision I was heavily involved in, and certainly I called the final shot on it. We spent literally weeks both talking with the Occupy Salt Lake folks who were there, with talking among ourselves about how we could address the serious problems in the camp, and that it was something we realized at some point we were going to have to address. And unfortunately, it took a death and really a realization of just how deplorable the health conditions were down there for us to take the action we did. But it's a situation where I certainly take full responsibility for it. It was something where we were working. I was involved on a daily basis on decisions involving that encampment.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. Mayor, our time is short, so we can only devote a few minutes to this topic. We'll devote more time on a future show, I'm sure. You recently testified before a congressional subcommittee on a bill sponsored by most of Utah's congressional delegation. This bill would facilitate the sale of 30 acres of national forest so that Canyon Ski Resort can build a lift that will connect it with Solitude Mountain Resort on the other side. What did you have to tell Congress about this bill in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I should tell you that for me, and I know for so many of us in Salt Lake, that the Wasatch Mountains and the Wasatch Canyons are a treasure of inestimable value. It's not just dollar value. For us in Salt Lake City, it's a source of the majority of our water supply. And maintaining the quality of that watershed is of utmost importance to all of us in this valley. For so many of us as well, it is our backyards. It is where we recreate in a lot of different ways. And we have had enormous success over literally decades, well over a century, in providing for a wide variety of uses that sometimes are competing and still protecting the watershed. At one point, it actually came in City Creek Canyon, where we shut down. They had to shut down the canyon for 10 years because of the impacts on the watershed. That's something we don't anticipate today, certainly because we take such proactive measures. This proposal, which we received no notice of before, certainly we saw it in the media, of legislation to sell Forest Service lands in the middle of our watershed to allow for a major development that has enormous consequences today and for the future of the Wasatch, including our watersheds, was offensive. It did not include local participation. There was no consultation with that. Mm-hmm. It did not involve any studies that normally take place. It did not involve any community engagement, which we have been doing in a very proactive way for decades in the Wasatch. So I know that I, and was joined by Mayor Caroon in Salt Lake County, expressed our opposition, our outright opposition to this proposed legislation. Now, we've got a lot of things we need to address in the canyons. We need to address transportation problems. We need to protect the watershed. We need to be respectful of the many users and uses in the canyons. We need to make sure that we do not affect the ski resorts and their enormous success that we have and we support over the years. But to just bypass a public process, to bypass necessary environmental reviews, and to sell in the middle of our watershed, public lands that we know is going to lead to major consequences on our watersheds and on other users, without going through all of that local participation, is really quite offensive to me and I know to others in the community. So I certainly expressed that in the hearing. I know many others have as well. And we're looking forward to moving forward and hopefully being able to deal with this proposal and the many other proposals, including wilderness proposals and transportation proposals, in a sensible way.
Mayor Becker, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. But thank you very much for joining us on Politics Up Close. We look forward to talking about Ski Link and all these other issues in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson.